the importance of childlike faith. Blessings from Jesus is the title of today's message. And I want you to think about blessings of Jesus that have been a part of your life. And just in today alone, we have seen many blessings from Jesus. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." In this particular verse here, Joshua is being commissioned. He's being commanded by God. Now, this verse was specifically written for Joshua at this time frame. But oh, how great of a role it plays in our very lives today. This verse was created for you and for me as well. And so, no matter what we face in life, no matter what comes our way, we should always be strong. We should always have great courage. And we should not ever feel down and out. We should never feel dismayed. This is a great commissioning from God. God wants Joshua to have these feelings. He wants them to be embedded within his heart. He wants it to be second nature to automatically reply with courage and boldness. And to never be fearful of what man can do. We are to fear the Lord our God out of reverence. But we should never have fear from man or towards mankind, because we know that God will take care of us. God placed great emphasis on three important things in this one verse. In this one verse. You know, God is an awesome encourager, and he always finds ways to encourage. And he does a wonderful job in this one verse alone, where he tells us to be strong, to be of good courage. He tells you to be not afraid. And then also he says, neither be thou dismayed. In one verse alone, God has given you three means of encouragement. Even if you were to take away two of the three and still look at one, it's still coming from who? God. He didn't need to give us three. One's enough. But he knows how we are. He knows how we need more reassurance. And so therefore, God gave three awesome, mighty reasons in this one particular verse. So Luke, Anna, Benny, and Ashley, may you always remember the importance of this particular verse. May you hide it within your heart, and may you always know that even though you've already begun to raise children, you have this new baby to take care of, you think that you already know what to do, and in a sense, you probably do. And you probably have faced some times in life where you have been discouraged. You have probably faced some times in life where you probably were slightly dismayed. But I encourage you to be like Joshua, to experience the commissioning like Joshua, and to know that God is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. God has his best interest in heart for you, your spouse, your family, and even your friends, and even this church. We too should have that very same interest for this dedication at which we partook of today. And this commission that Joshua received is also this very same commissioning that you and I have received. And so we are to take it and we're to apply it to our hearts and our lives each and every day and show others that we are to be strong, that we will not be afraid. We will always have courage because we believe in the one true God. Through the reading of today's dedication, we read aloud as a group from Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. And these particular verses that we read from allow us to understand, and it should also allow us to remember the importance of little children. I remember growing up as a little child at Oak Ridge Baptist Church and how we used to have the little posters all along the wall in our little Sunday school rooms. And it was always this picture that still stands out in my mind today of Jesus sitting and those little children all around him. And how glorious of a picture that is. But as children, we look at that and think that that's how it's supposed to be, that God just loves on children. But whether you're a newborn, whether you're 80 or above, if you've called upon the name of God, you're still a child of the one true King. And you still can sit in his lap and be hugged by the Father. Jesus is not worried of what age you are. He wants you to make sure that you learn and know that he is the heavenly Father. God has provided you with an earthly father, but he himself is the heavenly Father. And that's what he wants as children. Whether you are young or whether you are old, he wants you to come unto him and allow him to hug you, to allow him to express his love for you and to show you that he is the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he wants the best for you and your family. As we focus on today's dedication, we think of children. But the grander scale of this message today from Mark is not just for children alone, but it's for all people. Because God feels that we all need to have that childlike faith. And that's what he wants us to, what are we going to focus on today, is what it means to have a childlike faith. Jesus made great reference of this in these verses that we will read today. And you know, as adults, typically speaking, they are not as trusting as children are, because obviously adults have grown, they've lived longer, they've seen so many times where they've been hurt, where they have been torn apart, and so it's hard for them to trust. But for children, all they want, all they need is for somebody just to pay them some attention, to pat them on the back, to prove their love, and to show them that they are trustworthy people. And if you can do that for a child, you can teach them great and mighty things. And so it's very important for you all that are sitting here today, whether you have grandchildren or children, or maybe you're just a Sunday school teacher here, or maybe you're a teacher within the community, maybe you're just a part of our community. We have a great job as adults to teach children. They're watching every move we make. They're listening when you don't think they're listening. And there are so many teachable moments that we have for children. So what are we going to teach them? Are we going to teach them the ways of the world? Or are we going to teach them the ways that are righteous? Are we going to teach them the ways in which God has taught you? And if we don't do this, church, family, who's going to show them? It's just like we teach love, we teach hate. What are we going to teach our children? We need to teach them to love each other. We need to teach them to show them that Christ loved them first. And I know as a parent, as a grandparent, you have so much love for your family. But oh, how much greater the love of Christ is for you and for me. And we must convey these thoughts to our children each and every day and let them know that we love them. But God loved you first, and he loves you the most. And if we can teach them that and allow them to learn to walk by faith and not by sight, these children will grow and be the God-fearing leaders that we need them to be. They will be able to go out from Sandhill Baptist Church and be leaders and show others who Jesus Christ is, and to show others how great of a man, how great of a God we serve. Jesus oftentimes was considered or ridiculed, actually, even by his own disciples, because he wanted to go hang out with the children. He wanted to go hang out with the vile sinners and the tax collectors. And his disciples, we will read shortly that the disciples rebuked the children, told the children and the parents to leave, that Jesus did not have time for these little children. But what Jesus was wanting to express was he has all the time for these little children, these sinners, these tax collectors, because that's who needs him most. So that's why it's so very important that you take time to speak to the sinner who has not been saved by grace, who needs to know who Jesus is. You take time and you show them. There's no need to go and disciple the ones that are already in your church that have already claimed to call upon the name of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit take control of that. But for those that don't know Christ, that's the ones we've got to go to. That's why Jesus welcomed those little children in, because they wanted to accept that free and gracious gift because of that childlike faith. They didn't need a gift just because it was free. They needed that gift because Jesus was telling them of who he was. But you know, a lot of times for us, we want that gift. for the material value, for what benefit it's going to give us. So how great of a gift, how free of a gift is the gift of salvation? And there's no greater benefit in that gift than accepting that gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, let these children come to me. He was very upset with these disciples. He was mad. Could you imagine if you upset Jesus, how that feels? You think about when you've upset your wife, or you've upset your children, or you've done something wrong at work and you've upset your boss. Well, oh, how much greater would that be when you've done something to displease Jesus? But we do it every day. We do it every day. Make sure that when you try to do what's right, that you do it in the love of Jesus Christ, and that you do it to show others the importance of that gentle, loving, childlike faith. In this dangerous and sin-filled world in which we live, it's very important that we show our children what love is all about, because this world will show them love, but it will only last for a season. We must show our children what true love is all about. Jesus Christ is true love. And let's be honest with ourselves as believers. We need Jesus every day. So how much greater does a non-believer need him? The walk that we have each and every day is important, but sometimes we stray away from what Jesus wants us to do, but we need him every day. Oh, how we need him. And so make sure that when you are raising these children, raising these grandchildren, or teaching our children here at Sand Hill or any other church within our community, that we're teaching the importance of Christ, Christ's love, and the importance of faith in seeing that Jesus loved us through the shedding of his blood. How great and important that is. If you have your Bibles with you today, I ask that you go ahead and turn to Mark 10, verses 13 through 16, and out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, if you stand as I read from these verses. Mark 10, 13 through 16. Jesus blesses the children, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. May God bless you through the remainder of this service, and may you receive the blessing from the hearing of his word. You may be seated. Children, they need a gentle touch. They need to know that someone cares. Now, I say children, but how many of you in here today can honestly admit that you don't need that gentle touch through the course of the day, the week, whether you're an adult or not? This is for children, but we as adults need that too. We must too be the encourager. We must show others that we care. But we should train our children to show the importance of what it means to care. That gentle touch of love and compassion and kindness. And we must show our children there's no gentler of a touch than that from our Heavenly Father. As we read in verses 13 and 14 of this chapter, we see that the people brought those children to Jesus because they just wanted to be near the Master. They just wanted to sit at his feet. And don't you imagine that when those children came around and Jesus told the disciples to let them go, let them come unto me, could you imagine the stories that he told as he taught those little children? And they were taking it in, and they were soaking it in and just listening. And they were being taught by God. And we often think that it was much easier back then to have that experience because Jesus was right there in front of them. And sure, it may have been because it was more lifelike, because he was there in the flesh. But we know that God had a wonderful and masterful plan. He knew that when he called his son to ascend back to his throne, he would give us something called the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is what leads us and what guides us today as leaders of the church, leaders of the home. And so we take that Holy Spirit and we teach our children what it means to love. We teach our children what it means to be compassionate, to be gentle one to another. You know, the children were considered to be a nuisance by the disciples. They thought it was a bother. And sometimes that can be the case. You know that you would have to honestly admit that sometimes children, unfortunately, can be a nuisance. And if you don't agree with me, then you're telling a story here today in this church. There's times where I have felt that my children were a nuisance. But what do we have to do? We got to take time for those little children. Because how quickly time passes us by. It won't be long that Jack and Noah will be crawling. Then they'll be walking. And then they'll be running. And how quickly that goes. Brody learned this morning to partially tie his tennis shoe. I was happy, but then I got a little sad. Because it won't be long that he won't need Mama or myself to tie his shoes anymore. How quickly those things pass us by. And we get caught up in the moments. We get frustrated. But children should not be a nuisance. We know this. We act in the flesh. If we act the way Christ needs us to act, we will soak in every moment that God provides us. Because they're great gifts from God and God alone. And they're such teachable little gifts, and they're ready to be molded and made into what we need them to be, but more so what God needs them to be. So make sure that we teach our children how to love and the way to be and the way to treat others in life. Teach them to have that childlike faith. And at the same time, you all need to remember what it means to have that childlike faith. Don't overthink God's word. Accept it for what it truly is. There's no in between. Don't overthink God's word. Take it for face value because it is the truth. Everything that you read is the truth. It is God's holy and infallible word. And don't try to embellish God's word. Don't try to take away or add to. Understand and know that God's word is so very true. And that everything that we read is so very true. And the way that he loves you and the way that he loves me is so very true. It's so very real. Accept it. We walk by this faith. We do not walk by sight. Have that childlike faith and know that we will not always understand all the mysteries of this universe. We will not understand how the universe truly came to be. How did the earth truly form? Other than the fact that we know that God spoke it into existence. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Jesus said that all must believe in him. Children, middle-aged children, teenage, adolescent, young adult, and senior adults. All people must believe in him with a childlike faith. All he wants is for you to do is just to simply place your trust in him. And so just as the Croxtons and the Gardeners have placed their babies here at this altar today to be dedicated to the Lord, we pray that God will touch them. And we already know that God's hand's already been upon their lives, but we pray a special prayer today that these two young boys, as they grow, as we know they won't remember this dedication, but oh gosh, you can tell them so much. You can share with them so much about what this dedication means and why we dedicate, what the covenant means for God, what the promise of God truly is all about, and what this prayer is all about. For we want them to have a childlike faith so as they grow that they can enter into the kingdom of God by accepting his saving grace. If you look at verse 14 of this chapter, just the last portion it reads, it says, "For of such is the kingdom of God." And what God means here, what Jesus means here, what he's saying is that this pertains to a certain kind of people who the kingdom of God belongs to. Now, who is that certain kind of people? All people who do what? Call upon the name of the Lord. So he didn't want these children to be cast aside because they were just as important as the adults that were coming to worship him. He knew that those children could understand the plan of salvation just as easily as those adults could. You do not have to be a great scholar to understand that God sent his only begotten son so that you can be saved and have life eternal. You can be a child and understand the goodness of God's love. And sometimes we need to revert back to that childlike faith and realize that we need to just accept and know that God's word's true, that we don't need to overthink God's word. What Jesus is simply saying here is that even those children deserve that opportunity to experience love from the Heavenly Father. For we know that Jesus is a true love. He is a love like no other, and what an influential love Jesus Christ is. Verse 15 reads, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Now think about that. It's been stated. This is coming from the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not accept his word as a child, you will not be able to enter into that eternal kingdom. Think about that. There's no in between with that either. You either choose to believe or you choose not to. And when you make that decision not to believe, then all you're doing is deceiving yourself. And not only that, you're deceiving your friends, your family. You may be living a lie for them if they have not already come to know who Jesus Christ is. So not only will you be ruining your life, you'll be ruining the lives of others. And so for those who have called upon the name of God, that's why it's so very important that we remember where we are each and every day and who's around us, so that we can show them what it means to believe in Jesus Christ and to love him and to know what a childlike faith is truly all about. Children are just as important as adults, and Jesus wanted those disciples to understand that. And they're definitely as equally deserving of God's infinite love. If we do not do our part here today, or as we leave from here and go about our daily lives to train our children in the way they should go, then who will train them? And you know exactly who will train them. Satan. This evil, sin-filled world in which we live. That's who will train your child. And the further they get embedded in the ways of the world, the harder it is to pull them back to Christ. They come desensitized to these things that we know is morally corrupt and morally wrong. We too can be that way. So we have to make sure that we live a pure life for Christ in everything we do. Even if your children aren't around and it's just you, God knows. So if we don't teach our children the correct ways of Christ, the world will do it for you. The world will do it for you. Our final verse in this chapter that we are reading from today in Mark 10 is verse 16. "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them." Now, as I shared with you already at the beginning of this message, the visual picture that comes to mind for me is when I was a child and I would see that picture. But I want you to right now just think about that for a moment. Whether Jesus was sitting, whether he was standing. But I want you to imagine what it was like to be able to walk into Jesus' arms. Or have the chance to sit on his lap and just to look upon his face. Think about that. How blessed those children were to have a real opportunity to sit with Jesus. Now, as I've mentioned, we have the giving of the Holy Spirit. And if you have that Holy Spirit living within you, you can experience this. You may not be able to physically sit down at his feet or sit on his lap. But if you've got that Holy Spirit living within you, you can feel the power of Jesus within your heart and your body. You can feel it. And you should be able to recognize it. Or let's say, for example, that you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, but you begin to feel this feeling within your heart of something speaking to you. Something's beginning to change within your heart, within your mind. That too is the Holy Spirit. That is how we become born-again believers in the Son of God. That Holy Spirit begins to manipulate and to mold and to work our hearts so that we see that we need to be receptive of that childlike faith. In this one verse alone, in verse 16, we see the sincerity of Jesus. And not only does he hug them and he places his hands on them, but he blessed them. That's important. That hug is important. We all need that hug, that gentle touch. We need to be told that we were loved. But when somebody can look you in the face, or they're praying for you and they pray for God's blessing to be upon your life, there's no greater prayer than this. And this is what Jesus did for these little children. He told them he loved them, he hugged them, and he blessed them. As I mentioned, we won't have the opportunity in this time where we live on this earth to physically sit at Jesus' feet or sit on his lap. But I think that one day soon, and very soon, we will be taken up into his arms when he calls us home. Do you have that childlike faith that will allow you the only opportunity to touch the Master? There's only one way, and that is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way you're going to enter into that kingdom of God. There's only one way that you're going to be able to witness this new Jerusalem. You have to cast all your fears and all of your doubts aside. You need to cast the ways of the world aside. You need to focus only one person who guarantees you life eternal, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. One final thought, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse is very important for all who are here today, whether you're a believer or whether you're a non-believer. It's so very important that we continue to train our children, our grandchildren, the children of this church, the children of this community, in the ways in which they should go. And we know that there's going to be times in their lives, there's times in your life that you have gone astray. But if you've hidden God's word in your heart, he'll remind you of who he is. And he'll bring you back. And I encourage you to make sure that you're always listening for that still, small voice. God can be subtle, but at the very same time, he can get your attention in a mighty and powerful way that may truly bring you to your knees. So make sure that you're listening. Make sure that the word that you study, that you remember it and you put it in your heart, so that when you're facing trials and tribulations, you can recall God's goodness. You can recall Joshua 1:9. You can remember that you should not be afraid, that you should always be filled with courage, and no matter what happens in life, don't be dismayed, because you've got God on your side. He loves you deeply. He cares so much for you. Even when you don't realize it, he has your best interests at heart. But make sure that you align those things with a center of God's will. Take time to thank Jesus for all of his many blessings. Take time to thank Jesus for these beautiful babies that we were able to dedicate today. And not just for these little babies that were here today, but take time to thank God for those babies that have grown up to even be those irritable, know-it-all teenagers. Be thankful. All children are a gift from God. If you're a child of the world and you have not come to know the world, or the Lord Jesus Christ rather, I encourage you to think about where your life is right now. I encourage you to think about that childlike faith and what it truly means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that he is your only source of life eternal with him in heaven. Take time to be holy. Take time to think of others. Take time to think of these beautiful children that are in this church today. And as you go about your work, your life, make sure that you display this childlike faith. Make sure that you point others to Jesus and know that Jesus is ready to love you. He's ready to hug you. And he's ready to pour his blessings upon your life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, God, and we truly thank you for your blessings of life. God, we thank you for the many opportunities that you give us each and every day to experience your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, we are so grateful for these families today, God, the Croxtons and the Gardners. Lord, I know that they already have a family prior to these two beautiful babies being born, God, and they've already experienced the importance of parenthood, God, but I pray that they continue each and every day to raise Jack and Noah in a way that will be pleasing to you, Father. And may they show them the importance of your love, God, and may they show them the importance of knowing that there's only one way to experience life eternal, and that's through the acceptance of your saving grace. Father, for the visitors that are here today, Lord, I pray that they received a blessing by being here. God, I pray that they enjoyed this worship service, God, because we pray that you are always glorified in all that we do here at this church, God, for it's your church. And God, I pray that your hand is upon every family here today. As we leave this church and we go out into the community, may we always know and remember to let our light shine so bright for you so that others will want to know, why do we have such a great joy? And that joy is Jesus. Father, give us the strength to be courageous, to not be afraid. And when life does turn against us, Father, reach down and just touch us and hold us and show us that there's no need to be dismayed. God, we love you and we praise you. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.